Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103,
responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 on the pivot 400 lower level near carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue jeans, no further.
Control, 5 Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening to the Private Officer Talk Radio. Glad that you have joined us on this Monday night, 14th day of January 2013. Wow, we've got a lot to talk about today on this program, as we always do. Some good news, some great news, and unfortunately a little bit of bad news. It's always the way that things go. I'm Rick McCann, your host of the show, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, Brett Davis on the control board, and we're with you for the next hour and a half, 90 minutes. We really have enough to talk about that we could be with you for hours and hours, but some of you might get sick of that, so we're going to stick with the next 90 minutes, but we do have a lot to talk about, and so let's sweep right on over to some breaking news. As some of you probably already know, because you're on the receiving end of our email alerts, this has been a violent start to 2013 for the private security industry. So far this year, private security have been involved in more than 130 armed confrontations already. Security officers have shot and killed 6 people in shootouts, in defending themselves. 4 security officers have been killed in the line of duty in the first 2 weeks of January. Normally, January is a high statistical month for security officer deaths, so I hate to say that it's not alarming or shocking that it's been 4. It's really kind of on the low end, comparatively to the last couple of years. Just today, in Birmingham, Alabama, a security officer working for an armored car service was parked at a convenience store, and while he was there, he was shot and carjacked. His weapon was taken. He's in critical condition. That was on the west side of Birmingham, Alabama, and in Greenville, South Carolina. Over the weekend, a security officer was killed in the line of duty at a nightclub, and another security officer was killed in a car accident in New York. Also over the weekend, he was employed by a school system. And so a lot of armed confrontations, a lot of security officers being injured and unfortunately killed in the line of duty just in the first, 14 days. As we have been preaching over and over and over again, security, this is not your grandpa's security. Security has changed. The environment has changed. There really is no more observe and report. There may be access control security. There may be unarmed security that's just there for routine patrol and response. But unfortunately, when situations happen and security officers are there, they're caught in the middle of that incident, whether they like it or not, whether they want to be responsive or not. There really is no such thing as observe and report anymore, and that's what we have to really get a head on and really get through people's skull, is that if a security officer is on an unarmed post and a fight breaks out, whether he wants to get involved or not, he could get caught up in the middle of it and be unprepared to defend himself or others. And we really need to, I think, reexamine how we deploy unarmed security officers and what type of environment, what type of client, what type of property. And, you know, each day as we sit here and look at these statistics, they're more than numbers to us. These are individuals. These are persons being hurt, killed in the line of duty with little acknowledgement by anyone that they did so in a brave fashion. So, you know, unfortunately, we've got a long way to go in the private security industry. But so far this year, like I said, it looks to be like another year of tragic numbers in security officer deaths and injuries. And we'll be talking more about that, I'm sure, every week. Private security are definitely on the front line. We have to be prepared. We have to be willing to do or die, fight till the end, be killed or kill. As dramatic as that may seem, it is the true fact in the private security industry today, even though many people would deny it. They would rather sweep it under the rug. They ignore it. They pretend it just doesn't happen. It won't happen to their employees. It won't happen to them. It won't happen here. And that type of ignorance is what kills every day. We really need to educate ourselves, our clients, our employees to the true dangers of the private security industry. Otherwise, as I spoke with someone earlier today, I've been predicting that the numbers of deaths and injuries of private security will steadily increase and soon surpass the number of law enforcement officer deaths and injuries. And unfortunately, I hate to say I'm right in this instance, but I am. In 2012, 123 police officers were killed in the line of duty. Some of those were involved in car accidents, training, deaths, medical-related on-duty deaths, traffic fatalities, and other issues that directly caused the death of the officer while on duty. In 2012, 112 security officers were killed in the line of duty, with 80% almost being traumatic injuries, gunshots, stabbings, trauma from blunt force injury, being run down. So unfortunately, this one prediction is not only going to come true, it already has. It already is what it is. It's there. Ignore it. Pretend like it's not. Close our eyes and our ears to it and sweep it under the rug if you'd like. But the facts are the facts. 2012 was a big year for Private Officer International, but 2013 is going to be a huge, huge year. And we've got three big announcements coming up shortly that we're going to be talking about. I think this is going to blow a lot of people out of the water. Certainly some very forward-thinking concepts, programs, and services. As I said last week in my radio program on Monday, I've been told that I'm forward-thinking and a little too far ahead of our time here in the private security industry, and I am, I admit, but we'll be talking about some three big services and programs coming up momentarily. Also tonight, we have the second part of our workplace violence. Last week, we talked in detail about employee on employee type workplace violence, and we're going to continue that train of thought and introduce workplace violence that has to do with substance abuse and domestic violence and how to identify it and respond to it. We also talked last week about the 2012 death and injury report. And any time a security officer is injured on duty, in the line of duty, or killed, that is a form of workplace violence. It's as plain as day. That is the ultimate form of workplace violence. So I want you to think about that. We'll be talking in part two about employee workplace violence involving substance abuse, domestic violence, and some other areas that can be prevented if we only are willing to step forward, identify it, and really give it our all in prevention. I do want to say that the reports that we've generated this time around and some of the training that we've done over the past year and the dozens of media interviews and some of our members have helped to get the word out. We've gotten a lot of attention. For the first time, really, we've got true attention on the changing roles of private security, and we're going to keep that steaming forward the rest of this year because it really needs to be heard. We have a lot of stuff going on here at Private Officer International, and I think with the big announcements tonight, you'll realize we have a ton of things for you to be involved in, and we always try to get not only the members, but also security companies, contract security companies, proprietary departments, colleges, malls, private police, investigators, loss prevention. We want everyone to be involved because there's a ton of stuff for you to do. You could help with the benevolent services. You could help with the awards committee. You could help with, so many different areas. Logistics, legislative, and so forth. And we're going to give you some more opportunities. But if you'd like more information, just send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You can also follow us. You should be following us if you care at all about this industry, about public safety, loss prevention. We have a ton of locations that you could follow us 24/7, and we don't mind. Just go to our main website at www.privateofficer.com, and you can link right there on the homepage to our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter or LinkedIn. We have our own YouTube page, and we have our own very special forums, which if you're not a part, you really want to be a member, folks, because there's a lot of great stuff happening there. You can have a lot of training that's free. You can have a lot of interaction and networking with other security and investigative personnel, law enforcement. You can also follow all of our breaking news from our social media sites as well as our own news blog. Just go to our main website at privateofficer.com, and you can link in to any of those and check them out 24/7. And, of course, don't miss our radio programs. We schedule two radio programs a week, and we're going to be introducing a brand new show called You and the Law, explaining all of the areas of civil and criminal law. So it's going to be a new weekly program. We hope to have a lot of legal professionals on, attorneys, paralegals, and maybe even a few judges here and there. So be looking for that. That'll be coming up in the next few weeks. You and the Law. We're going to take a short break, and of course, we're coming right back.
You're listening to WPOI Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International. Now don't go away, because we're coming right back with some more news, information, and free training for you that you're not going to want to miss.
No pigtails anymore.
Check, please.
David, you okay to drive?
Yeah, I only had a couple drinks. I'm fine.
Come on.
Keys can be a weapon. A few drinks can make you a killer.
You are listening to the Private Officer Beat on the Private Officer Radio Network, and we're glad that you are tuning in wherever you might be in this world. We have tons of listeners from all over the place. In fact, I got an email last week from Angola or some other country. We've got people in places I've never even heard of and definitely never been. But we really want to welcome you. We know we have listeners right now in Australia and Canada, the UK, and we really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule to tune in to us. And I want to remind you that no matter what time of day or night that it is, if you can't catch us live, you can always catch us like many hundreds and thousands of people do on the free downloadable on-demand show. Just go to our website right here, and you can download any of the 253 shows that have been recorded right here and listen to them at your own convenience, in your office, your car, on your iPad, your iPod, or wherever. Just don't listen while you're working and get caught, because, you know, that might not be a good thing, and, you know, we might get the blame for it. We've got a lot of radio show left to bring you tonight, and we have a few guests coming on, but I do want to remind you, if you're in the Virginia, D.C., Maryland area, we have a brand new service for you. It's called SPIN, Security Police Information Network Dispatch, and we are partnering with a number of law enforcement agencies and media groups to get you the information on missing and endangered persons, wanted suspects, crime trends happening in your neighborhood. And this is a test. This is a test right now to see how it proceeds and how it works out between the partnering groups, and also to see if it will help the security community to maybe get more actively involved in getting maybe some apprehensions or getting information to law enforcement or maybe even spotting a wanted person. So we're kind of testing this out, and if it works, we're going to be doing the same thing in a number of other metropolitan areas, and we'll be bringing you more information on that, I'm sure, in the upcoming weeks and months. I want to tell you that we just was notified. Well, it's been a few months, but today, officially, that's in New Orleans, Louisiana, down in the Cajun country, after a considerable amount of time and effort by a number of POI members, our association staff, myself, and a couple of groups that were not associated with POI, New Orleans now requires certification training for all nightclub employees and bouncers working in security. One of really just a couple handfuls of cities that require it. Many states don't have anything for proprietary security, any requirements. Some do, some don't. But this is a win, another win for New Orleans, and we're working on a number of other locations, and we're going to be announcing some other locations that are in the process of changing legislation right now. We'll be announcing some wins with those locations as well, I'm sure. So if you'd like to help out on the legislative committee, send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. See, it's very important to be a member of POI, to follow POI if you're in the security, public safety industry, because there's a lot going on. We're doing good work for the industry. Even if the security company owners don't know it, don't care, don't want to be involved. We're doing a lot of good work for them, as well as the public safety community and the general public as a whole. And we're changing things. It's slow. It's a slow process. But we are winning, and we're going to continue to proceed on. I mentioned that we have three big announcements. I am expecting a call-in guest shortly, so I'm going to hold off on those announcements until we get our conversation taken care of. But just want to let you know that we have a ton of things happening here in POI, and it's really, really important to get involved. It really is. While I'm waiting for the call, let me just say happy birthday to everyone having a birthday this week. We don't have your specific names listed here. Unfortunately, we were quite busy over the last few days, and that didn't get listed here in my program notes. But if you're having an anniversary or a birthday, we just want to say happy birthday and congratulations on your anniversaries. I know that we have a lot of folks every week that we miss out. We don't really get all of their names, but this way we can kind of blanket everybody who's having a birthday, an anniversary, or maybe who's got promoted. If you are having a birthday, or you got a job promotion, or something is happening in your community, or you want to announce maybe some upcoming training happening, just send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Also, I want to congratulate a few people. James Press for his Certified Asset Protection Professional. Kevin O'Malley, also a CAPP. Thomas Bryant and Stephen Pauly all received their Certified Asset Protection Professional certification over the last few weeks. Carl Daughtry and Betty Small and Keith Moore, also I want to recognize them for winning some awards recently. Mr. Daughtry got the Director's Award. And, you know, again, we really want to recognize you. So if you recently was presented an award by your company, then definitely let us know so that we can make that big news here on the POI Radio Network. Also, want to mention a couple of other quick things here before we go into our big announcements. We are kicking off Armor College. Be looking for that announcement. You'll be able to take some classes online or at our brick-and-mortar locations. If you are a POI member in good standing, you'll be offered a 10 to 15% discount on all courses. Also, next week, be looking for the email announcing the Supervisor Award nominations. You'll be able to nominate your manager, your supervisor, the owner of your company. And we'll be making announcements on that in the upcoming weeks. You are on the Private Officer Radio Show. Hello, you're on the Private Officer Radio Show. Hello?
Hello, Rick.
Yes, you're on the Private Officer Talk Radio Show. Good evening, Carl. How are we doing?
Good, sir. Calling from California. How are you?
I thought they closed California up.
No, we're still open down here.
Hey, I noticed something about some new classes coming up that you're offering, and also you had a bowling, I believe, program that is going to be offered or something. Tell us about what's going on down there in your neck of the woods.
What type of program, Rick?
I think I saw on one of the media sites that you were going to offer a bowling program or some type of program for teens.
Oh, it's a Boy Scout.
Oh, okay.
Boy Scout program. We're offering multiple programs here for the California Bureau of Security Investigative Services for other licensing for security officers in our area. We're the only company within about 150 miles of our general area in Santa Maria, California, that does all the training for security, for law enforcement, for medical. We also do all the training. We have a Boy Scout dedicated person that handles all of our programming and program director for the Boy Scouts of America for helping the kids get educated with medical life-saving techniques with our two paramedics on staff and a staff of trained professionals that assist with the Boy Scouts at no charge. It's totally free. It's all volunteer. These guys come off duty and they come over and help our Boy Scouts out. We have the only venture crew, which is ages 14 to 21, that the Boy Scouts have in California that have actually a medical 911 crew that we go out to all of the events. We go out to all of the what they call a scout-o-rama, and we demonstrate CPR. We demonstrate first aid techniques, things that the Boy Scouts learn in their training coming up as Boy Scouts. And also in their training, they want to become EMTs or paramedics or doctors. We've had some go on to graduate schools and become physician's assistants. So it's a good program. We have two groups, one in the Paso Robles area and also in one in our Santa Maria office that we sponsor, and we're a charter host organization for them. So we're really proud of that, trying to help the kids out, and everybody donates their time. The kids get a fulfillment out of it. They get to experience what it's really like to be, you know, saving somebody's life.
Right, right.
And the paramedics,
very cool,
you know, give their experience. So it's a good program for the kids. It's safe. There's no issues. They have a good time, and it's all educational, and it's all free to them.
That's great. And I understand that you were recently recognized there for something else by your local government there.
Yes, we, on the security side, we also have a security company, private investigation company, and the training side. But on the security side, we were recognized by the California State Legislature's Office, 30th Assembly District, in the county of Fresno, as the Business of the Week. But we've also received the award, and being the only security company to receive that award here in the state of California, for being part of the community, helping the community, educating the community, and the Boy Scouts and you know, the Chambers of Commerce, helping them out and giving them classes for free and donations and, you know, going out to the community events. So we were very, very proud of that. It's a very prestigious award for us, and, again, we're the only company to ever get that. So it's private security. They've recognized, you know, a skill, and I hope everybody tries to achieve that goal as well, because that's very huge for our organization and our industry.
And again, I congratulate you, and I really have tried over the last few years to get our chapters and members to do things like this, to go out into the community and to give back, and you know, I really applaud you for doing so, and I hope that you'll continue to do that. Maybe we can even put together some type of program to bring it nationally with not only our members but other security companies and proprietary departments.
I think that would be a great thing for all the private security agencies and training, you know, to, you know, if they're a Chamber of Commerce member, ask their chamber, hey, is there anything we can do to help? Can we donate this or help in this area? And it just takes a little bit of community involvement. We have some of our younger family members that work for us that this is how they do their community service for graduation for high school out here. They have to have 500 hours of community service. So they help with the Boy Scouts and you know, give them training and tutoring and work with the youth. And they're youth themselves, so they all get along. It's a great group, and they get credit for doing it. So it's a win-win all the way around.
I really think that it is. It really helps you to get out there and give back. But, you know, in doing that, it's good PR, too. Let's not, you know, forget that. But I think that we kind of need to put some programs together to help other companies to go out and do similar types of acts, you know. Now, you have kind of a lot going on. You have a security company, a security and investigations company, a school, and soon to have an armor college.
Yes, sir. We are very proud of that. Bringing on Armor College, I think, is going to be a huge impact for our folks out here. Where private security doesn't really have any place to go for training other than us in the general area. I saw a void that was needed coming from a big city of over 500,000. It was a kind of a culture shock. I assumed they had one. And when I found out they didn't, we got together as a group and said, you know what, we need to start and help these people out. We're all in the same industry, and that's what we did. And it's been, you know, since 2009, it's been 100% ever since. But we're very proud of a lot of the accomplishments that we're making. We've applied for multiple grants. We've talked to the local TV station, and they have what they call a community grant, where it would give us free advertising and help with the Boy Scouts program as well. So that community involvement, the TV stations are actually now starting to get involved and helping multiple organizations, both nonprofit and for-profit. So it's really come, you know, a full circle with us at our office.
Well, you're definitely going to be busy, that's for sure, a lot busier than you are. Give us your website and your phone number, and we're going to bring you on again in a couple of weeks because I want to talk a little bit more exclusively about training and why it's so important for security companies to really change their thinking about training for their frontline staff.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Our training site is T as in Paul, S as in Sam, trainingpros.com. TSTrainingPros.com, and our phone number is 805 area code 556-4450.
Okay, and you offer not only the unarmed and armed, but you also have some medical classes. You have first aid and some gun safety and some other things.
Yes, we're kind of a one stop shop, Rick. We try to put everything together, see the need, and then fill the voids where we could. We offer handgun safety training for the state of California, Department of Justice required courses. All of our instructors are Department of Justice certified, as well as myself to teach the class. We have all the handgun courses for the Bureau of Security and Investigative Services. We have the guard card courses, pepper spray, taser, baton. Anything that the Bureau requires us to have, we have, including a rare license, which is called a proprietary security officer license, to actually teach the proprietary security officer course to folks who are working in the hospital industry or the nightclubs, bouncers, anybody in a private entity, bars. They're required now to have a proprietary security license and backgrounded and all that by the state. So we do all of those courses, and we're number 41 in the state to have that. So it's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, that is. It's excellent. I don't know if you heard me say earlier, but we've been working with the city of New Orleans, Louisiana, since 2007 to license and require certification training for nightclub security and bouncers, and it just went into effect. It goes into effect May 1st, actually. But that's a big long process that we've been working on, And, you know, I think that everyone in any position of security or authority, they really need that training. And that includes loss prevention, nightclubs, bouncers, or anyone that's going to be, you know, responsible for public safety.
Yeah, the state saw a need, and I'm glad they did it because you, just like getting a guard card, Rick, you still have to be live scanned or fingerprinted by the state. That this is also required for the proprietary license. They run it the same way as a guard card, except the only difference between the two licenses is with the proprietary, you cannot carry a firearm and you cannot carry a baton. So you can't carry any weapon. Pepper spray is okay. A taser is okay. Handcuffs are okay. Unless the entity, such as a hospital, who wants to have their officers armed, like Los Angeles County, or just with a baton and everything else but a gun, they assume that liability, but that's a written agreement with the between the hospital and the Bureau. So that's the only other stipulation with that. But it's a good license to have. At least you know the folks are backgrounded. They have a clean, kind of a clean bill of health, as you know, to say. There's not going to be an issue if they do have a problem. There's going to be, you know, professionalism 100% because the state does their homework.
Exactly. Well, we're going to talk more about training in a couple of weeks and also where I think that the security industry is heading as far as training. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and I hope that you'll listen up the rest of the show. We've got a couple of things that we'll be talking about, some new programs and services, and also some training on workplace violence.
Very good, Rick. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for your time. I appreciate all your listeners, and you know, you got a great thing going with the Private Officer International. It's a great organization. We're lifetime members, and we're proud of it. So I appreciate all the help you've given us throughout the years.
You are, and we'll be talking to you again. Thanks again for calling in, Carl.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Have a great day.
All right. That's Carl Daugherty down in the south side of California, Santa Maria. And he is definitely one of our lifetime members and soon to be one of our armor colleges. We're coming right back in a moment. We've got a big announcement. Don't go away. Don't go away.
You're listening to WPOI Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International. Now don't go away, because we're coming right back with some more news, information, and free training for you that you're not going to want to miss.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stack.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
All right, welcome back to Private Officer The Beat. And we've got some big news coming up right now. We've kind of hyped it up here for the last week or so, and one of our press releases got leaked. It went out a little bit earlier than it was supposed to, but we have three big, huge announcements that we want to make before we get into our training segment. So, you know, Private Officer International has always been on the cutting edge. We've always been way ahead of our time as far as private security goes. And these announcements, I think it's going to take a few people back, shock a few people, and even maybe hopefully send some shockwaves across the security industry. But we've developed a brand new response team. It's called the Deadly Force Evaluation Response Team, or DFERT for short. And the DFERT team will respond to deadly force or questionable force incidents involving private security, public safety, and private police, non-commissioned officers, or in the case of private police, those who are not working for a city, municipal, county, or state agency. A lot of areas have private police, including D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, so on and so forth. So this service will be made available to them. The Deadly Force Evaluation Response Team will be made available to our members as well as to other private security personnel across the country. Upon activation, the team will provide an immediate assessment and analysis of the incident and issue a preliminary report and follow-up recommendation pertaining to any follow-up investigation. The advanced stages of our team, the DFERT involvement, will include on-site investigation and fact-finding, expert witness services should the incident escalate to a criminal or a civil action brought against the involved officer or their employers. Initial services will be provided free of charge to all association members of POI in good standing, and a nominal fee will be charged for on-site services for all individuals or companies seeking assistance in the use of force incident. The DFERT team will consist of six highly trained use of force law enforcement and private security professional, including certified instructors who have extensive training in lethal and non-lethal protocol and procedure, a legal investigator and forensic specialist. Also, the team will provide expert testimony in these cases in civil or criminal defense matters. As you know, the increase of armed confrontations, close quarter shootings, assaults, use of force, and deadly shootings involving private security continues to rise. And while, you know, many law enforcement agencies and benevolent groups such as the PBA offer police officers this type of assistance whenever they're involved in incidents of lethal force or questionable use of force, the private security and public safety industries just, they don't have it. There is no entity to provide that type of backup, that type of expert assistance in these type of incidents, especially in matters that could become a prosecution against them. Until now, that is, with the new Deadly Force Evaluation Response Team, which I have put together, I am changing that today and putting someone in your corner that cares about you, the frontline officer. So if you are a POI member, if you're currently in good standing, you will have this expert service in your toolbox. Not that we want you to go out and get involved in a deadly shooting. Not that we want you to use excessive or lethal force. Not that we want you to be involved in any type of use of force incidents. But we know that you probably will be at some point or other. So we are very happy to say that you will have this in your corner, and we will help you all that we can in our service. I think this is going to be a huge thing for the community. We've already been contacted by the press just in the short few hours that this was released, And we are really excited to be able to be the entity to provide this service. And I'm not looking forward to providing the service because, like I said, I don't want any officer to have to go through this. But just to know that the service is now available, the same type of service that's available to law enforcement is now available to private security. I think that's pretty huge. And I think as this information gets out and more companies and proprietary agencies and private police hear about it, I do think that the service will be called up for service more than what we probably think that it will. A lot of officers, private officers, are involved in shootings. They might not all be deadly. A lot are involved in use of force incidents. You know, last year we saw a record 1,600 and something security companies sued across the U.S., many for excessive use of force and false arrest. So we know that this is a vital service that we're providing. The second very large thing, very large announcement, and the press release will be sent out tomorrow on this, and I think this is huge also. 2012 was a great first year for a private officer, Memorial Ride, and our events. But this year, after looking at how things played out last year, looking at the large number of people that wasn't able to participate because there wasn't an event in their area, it wasn't sponsored, we have decided to change up the 2013 Memorial Ride. In fact, we're calling it the 2013 Memorial Ride and Conference. Many security officers cannot get to a large convention in, say, Las Vegas or Nashville. We would love to have a yearly convention as most associations and groups have. We would love to hold one, but unfortunately, private security personnel just can't afford it. So what we're going to do with the 2013 Memorial Ride is we're going to hold regional Memorial Ride and Conference events. We're going to set them up in every area of the U.S., even in the most remote areas. We're going to make the drive within a three-hour radius of anyone, no matter where you are. And we're going to combine a day of training, a day of other security events, maybe even have some vendors on site and hold a mini conference as well as a memorial, because we want to cover everyone in the U.S. And we want to make this really stand out as a sensational all-around event for private security, public safety, loss prevention, and even law enforcement. So in order for us to be able to pull this off, we're going to begin in just a few weeks, February 1st, to really put this together logistically. It is a logistical nightmare. And also to begin to put together some sponsors. If you have a company, if you would like to donate, if you would like to help, send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Again, this will be announced tomorrow as well. The 2013 Memorial Ride and mini conferences they're going to be big events. They're really going to make a difference, an impact in the security profession, like we've done in so many other areas. So, but this is big news, and we want you to be involved. We want you to help. We want you to participate, and we want you to come out to the area event. These will be 1 to 3 day regional conference and memorials, depending on the size of the area and the sponsorship. And again, we're just in the initial baby phase of putting this together. More information will be coming out tomorrow in the upcoming weeks. But February 1st, we'll be kicking this event off, raising funds and scheduling the areas and putting together the locations. So be looking for that additional information coming out to you. And if you want to sponsor, donate, or be involved in any way, just send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Last but not least, we have, over the last few years, helped to sponsor counseling and chaplain services and assist security officers involved in traumatic events or problems that they may be having in their personal life. But we are extending our PTSD, our post-traumatic stress disorder services. We currently offer online assistance. We have also counseling available by phone. And now we are going to partner with several large organizations to offer you additional assistance if you're having any type of post-traumatic stress disorder, situations that rise from family situations that you may be going through. We want to be able to help you even more. If you're a member or a non-member, we're going to try and make this available to everyone within the security community. So be looking for that information coming out probably within the next couple of weeks as well, because there's a lot of stuff that has to be done to put this benefit in place. But it is a benefit that's, its time has come. There's a lot of security officers dealing with stresses that they've never had to before, and they're involved in every type of aspect of stress and situations that law enforcement are. A lot of security officers are involved in daily threats and environments that are very much similar to law enforcement. So they're going through similar stress disorders and drinking problems, substance abuse, domestic relationship problems, the same thing as law enforcement. So we want to be able to make some assistance available to them, and we'll be talking more about that in the upcoming weeks. But if you're a member of POI, I'm telling you, you've got it made. You've got services available to you that you probably don't even know about because you don't follow up, you don't keep track, but you've got a ton of services available to you if you just want to put them to use. We're going to be talking about workplace violence in just a few moments, and we're coming back.
Slow down.
And move over.
When you see light, best.
Or reflective. Please, give us some room. Slow down
and move over.
We look out for you.
So look out for us.
Please.
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 Slow down
and move over.
It's the law.
It's the law. It's the law.
Listening to WPOI Radio, brought to you by Private Officer International. Don't go away, because we're coming right back with more news, information, and training.
What's the first thing you think of when I say security, law enforcement, and medical training? I think of Public Safety Training Incorporated. For security law enforcement training classes like pepper spray, tactical handcuffing, anti-terrorism, basic baton skills, guard card and firearm classes, and taser device courses. Or medical training classes like CPR and AED for adults, children, and infants. Or CPR for healthcare providers, first aid, bloodborne pathogens, and wilderness first aid. And many more classes like California, Utah, and Florida concealed weapons certificates. So if you're thinking the same thing I am, give Public Safety Incorporated a call at 805-556-4450. Or check out Public Safety Incorporated's webpage at pstrainingpros.com. Don't forget, we're an NRA-accredited school, and we're a proud sponsor of On the Firing Line with Jim, Jason, and Joe.
You are listening to the Private Officer Beat radio show on the WPOI radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. We want to talk a little bit now about workplace violence. Last week we spoke about, kind of the generic definitions, and we kind of expounded on employee type workplace violence, how to recognize it, how to react to it, and most importantly, how to prevent it. 15 different telltale signs and even self-confessions. And we spoke about the different things that could be going on really in your employee's personal life that could affect whether or not they're going to be involved in some form of workplace violence. And we've identified in the first part of our training what workplace violence really was. It's not just that, you know, those big scenes on TV when you have an active shooter and you've got an employee who has gone loco postal, as they say, and began to shoot up the place. No, that's really not workplace violence in its entirety. We have workplace violence by yelling, screaming, threatening, harassing, stalking, a lot of different areas, a lot of different ingredients to this workplace violence that people really don't take the time to identify or to look into or to really say, yeah, that really is workplace violence. You know, we're so used to that person screaming at us at work, we just take it like it's just the way it's supposed to be. We're so used to the boss cuffing us out or coming up to us and almost pinning us to the wall. We're so used to the way that customer reacts every time they're in the store that we don't really think of it as being, you know, workplace violence. Hey, that customer's never in a good mood. She's always cussing me out. She's always angry about something. We don't really think about that patron who's always threatening or maybe has a bad day and threatens you. And if you're in security or law enforcement, you know, we get a lot of that. People are always saying, yeah, you're going to be sorry you've done that. You're going to be sorry you said that. You're going to be – that's workplace violence. It doesn't have to be a physical assault. It can be verbal threat. It can be physical. It can be harassment. It can be somebody who gets up and storms out and throws things. That is workplace violence. It can also be sexual assault, sexual harassment. There's a lot of different ingredients to workplace violence. There are a lot of different characters who could be involved in workplace violence. But in this segment, we're talking about employee-on-employee workplace violence. And we gave you 15 telltale signs and red flags to be looking for in part one. Today we want to introduce two other areas that are involved in employee workplace violence, things that, well, definitely has a lot to do with who might become involved in workplace violence, who might be a suspect. And that is two areas that many employers don't want to deal with. Many employers turn a blind eye. They really don't want to get involved in domestic violence or substance abuse issues. In fact, I had someone tell me over the weekend that they don't care what's happening in their employees' lives as long as it doesn't affect them at work. And I tried to explain to her, it does affect them at work if they're having problems with their spouse, their family, their children. I'll give you a prime example. There was a lady who worked in the retail industry for many years. And something happened in her life where she went through a divorce. And her two teenage sons took it out on her. And they began to physically abuse her. Now, she did call law enforcement for the assaults, and it affected the way that she thought about herself. It affected her at work almost on a daily basis. I'm sure that that was on her mind whenever she was at work, whenever she was preparing to go back home, what she had to face. You might not think about all the problems that employees bring with them into the workplace. And like I mentioned last week, some employers truly don't care. But even if it's not our responsibility, even if it's not our business as employers, don't you think we should be a little selfish? This is one time that I think that selfishness is a good thing. If for no other reason, as an employer, we selfishly get involved, we selfishly investigate when we think, when we see, when we hear that there might be a problem. So statistics that I mentioned last in the first session of our training, a recent study shows that 90% of all absenteeism is due to personal or family problems. 90%. 50% of all employees have a trouble focusing on their job task because of personal problems. 87% of employees surveyed said they would work harder for a company who was willing to help them with their personal problems. And the Department of Labor states that 48% of all employees leave a company voluntarily because they just don't feel valued, they don't feel like they're cared for, and the majority of employees feel that they have no resources available for help with personal problems. 65% of waking hours are spent in a work environment, more time spent at work with coworkers than with family. Isn't that reason enough? Isn't that a good justification for employers to get involved? I spoke with a person, very well-experienced person, workplace violence instructor and HR specialist for a very long time. And he said, well, we've been preaching this forever, but employers just aren't going to do it. We need to get involved. We need to recognize, to understand when someone is having a problem at home because it affects their performance, but also because it could eventually cause them to go off, to get fed up, to be sick and tired of it. And it's going to be more than just a bad day at work if they do. There are four types of employees, four different types of reactions that you're going to get to problems, to changes. As mentioned in part one, they're going to react four different ways. One's going to take it in stride. They're going to go with it. They're going to go with the flow of life. One's going to verbalize it to their coworkers and talk about it. One's going to hold it in. And they're going to be steaming. And the fourth type is they're going to immediately have an outburst, maybe throw some things around, maybe threaten, maybe cause a scene. Which type of employee do you think is most likely to be involved in workplace violence in those four types of people? The person who holds that in, who steams and lets it cook and lets it just really boil them over, eventually is going to explode. And you're going to have a serious situation on your hands. So today we want to talk a little bit about, in part two, substance abuse and domestic violence. It's very important that you know your employee, whether you want to get involved in their life, whether you want to turn a blind eye, whether you just want to ignore it. It's just not possible these days. If you have someone who is a victim of domestic violence, whether it be a spouse or children, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's important to know that there's a problem at home. There's a problem on the home front because they're going to bring it in with them. There's no way to leave it at the front door, no way to leave it outside and come in like nothing's going on in their personal life. So it's important for us as employers to recognize when our employee is having a problem. So let's start with domestic violence. How do we know without having a crystal ball that something is happening in their life? How can we be sure besides sitting them down and saying, hey, Susie, hey, Tommy, you guys seem a little off. Hey, you got a black eye today. Hey, did you, you know, some employers just don't want to go through that, and some employers just don't feel like it's their job. But we need to recognize that there's a problem so that we can address it. So if an employee is having domestic problems at home, it's important for us to know that they're going through a separation, a divorce, whether they've got a restraining order against their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their ex-husband or estranged husband or wife. It's important for us to understand that something is going on because that person, either the employee or the person that they have a restraining order against, may become involved in a heated battle on our property at the workplace. And that's going to boil over into affecting our job, our other employees, our production, and everything that's happening at the workplace. You know, OSHA and other federal regulators say that it's our job as employers to have a safe environment, to have a safe workplace. So if we knowingly allow certain activity, if we knowingly allow certain things to happen, or if we just turn a blind eye and say, well, I'm not going to get involved in that, are we keeping a safe environment? Or are we helping disasters to occur? Many domestic violence situations that occur at home, whether it be physical or verbal abuse, many are boiling over, spilling over into the workplace. If we see our employee with injuries, if we see sudden mood swings or changes, I'm not saying to pull them into the office. I'm not saying call the cops. I'm not saying to, you know, embarrass them in front of other employees. No, I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying that we need to do something. If we have a employee assistance program, we need to refer them to that program and get them involved. If we have chaplain service, if we have on-site counselors, nurses, maybe it's a school system, we need to see if we can help resolve that. I mentioned in part one that I believe that employers have a right to know if a employee has a restraining order or an executive protection order out against a spouse, a boyfriend, or someone else, because that way we have a heads up. We can be looking for that person. especially if we have a security department or we have law enforcement on the premises, then we need to be able to recognize that the person may be wanted or may have a stay-away order. We can avoid many workplace incidents if we have the information. Why are you afraid of information? Information is power, they say, and that's true. If we know that there's a problem, if we know there's a potential for someone to trespass on our property and cause harm to an employee, then it is our duty to get involved. And I believe that every employer has a right to have a copy of that stay away order, executive protection order, so that we have a good heads up and a full description of the person who's been served the order so that we can prevent anything from happening. If you have a security department or a law enforcement department on the premises, it's even more important that they be given a heads up because they're the ones on patrol. They're the ones out there looking. They're the ones that's going to come across somebody loitering, somebody hanging out, somebody sitting in the car all day, half the day, somebody following one of our employees. I have an excellent training on domestic violence. We did part of the program here and recently, and we've done part of the program on the radio show about 6 months ago. If you missed that, you might want to go back and listen to it, or you might want to order the domestic violence training program. It will really open your eyes as to what domestic violence really is and how it really touches many people and affects many people in the community, friends, family, coworkers. You don't have to be directly involved to be involved, to be a victim. So you might want to go back and listen or order the program, especially if you're an employer, an HR director, a security or law enforcement officer on a property where you have a lot of employees. One of the other areas that is spilling over into workplace violence is substance abuse. And we mentioned this also in part one, but I really want to expound and expand and really push the boundaries a little bit with this because, again, unless you have a company, a type of company that requires a drug test of all employees and all applicants, you're not going to really know that your employee is maybe drinking too much. You're not going to realize that maybe they're addicted to narcotics. You're not going to recognize substance abuse unless you've been there yourself. I really never could understand why any employer in this day and age wouldn't do an initial drug screen on every applicant, and then, as the law allows, residual drug testing, whether it be quarterly or any time that you have reason to suspect or there's been an accident or an injury of the employee or something, as the law allows that you do follow-up drug testing. And there are specific jobs that require continual drug testing. And if you're involved in any industry covered by DOT, Department of Transportation, or some federal jobs, then it's continual. You're required to submit to it. But drug abuse, substance abuse, whether it be alcohol or drugs, is becoming a real problem in the workplace. And it's becoming a problem where is spilling over from their home life and their what they do outside of work, now they're bringing it into the job. You know, problems are problems. And people have had problems since there were people. But in this day and age, in this time, more and more people have turned to illegal prescription, narcotics, alcohol, and drugs to soothe over their problems, to get away from the issues that they might be having. And unfortunately, while many used to hide it, many used to just do it on their off hours, and, you know, people used to come to work with hangovers, you'd never know it. But things are different today. Teachers, believe it or not, are being arrested for public intoxication in their own classrooms almost on a weekly basis. Some employers have hired private contractors to run drug dogs through their factories and production lines and offices because of the rampant use of illegal narcotics. Why should we be concerned about this? Well, because, first of all, if they're stoned or high, they're more apt to be angry, maybe cause a problem, maybe assault someone, hurt someone, or even more violently, kill someone. And then there's the other reason. Again, as employers, we can be selfish about this, and that is liability. If we don't do anything, after we've been made aware of, or after we recognize, or after we know from one way or the other that someone's intoxicated or under the influence of narcotics, if we don't do anything, especially if they're involved in operating machinery or vehicles or anything else, or they're in security or law enforcement and they carry firearms, and we don't respond, we don't react, well, now we've got a real liability issue if they accidentally hurt someone or hurt themselves or have an accident, or they have a workplace violence incident. There's no way to say you didn't know. No way to say, well, I didn't recognize it. So if for no other reason but selfish reasons, we as employers should get involved and be involved on every aspect of our employees' health, mental health, physical health, and make it our job to recognize substance abuse, make it our job to require certain things as required by law to detect substance abuse, and then offer them assistance. I'm not saying fire them, even, you know, again, as employers, we've got to do what we have to do to prevent workplace violence, as well as liability issues. We're talking about workplace violence that encompasses employee on employee, or employee on customer, or employee on vendor workplace violence incidents. And I believe, unfortunately, these type of incidents will grow because substance abuse is on the rise. Domestic violence is on the rise. Suicides are on the rise. We can turn a blind eye. We can, like, you know, say it's not really happening. Like that crack in the windshield that I often mention. Overlooked, even though the driver is looking directly at it every day because he just looks beyond it. He doesn't recognize it anymore. And sometimes that's what happens to us. We know it's there. We've seen it. We no longer acknowledge it. We pretend like it's not happening here. It's not going to happen to us. There's not going to be any workplace incident here. This is a safe work environment. I run a top-notch company. But if we don't do all the right things to prevent it, if we're not Johnny on the spot when we see a problem, when we see an employee jump up and shove the desk over, push over the phone, yell at a coworker, cuss the manager out, when we don't respond to that, when we let that happen, then we're looking beyond that crack in the windshield and pretending like it's not there, not even seeing it. And then wondering why eventually that same person blows up and there's a larger incident. Somebody gets hurt or killed. The U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, says about 2 million workers in America are victims of workplace violence every year. 2 million. And let me just tell you, that's 2 million too many, but it's also 2 million reported. Imagine how many incidents go unreported. How many incidents are just said to be, well, that's just the way that they are. Ah, she's just having a bad day. Didn't mean to throw that against the wall across the office. Ah, he didn't really mean to slap his coat. He wasn't really trying to hurt nobody. I'm not going to write this up as a workplace violence. We're just going to send him home for a day. We're going to send him fishing. Let him cool off. 2 million incidents of workplace violence every year. Probably another 2 million unreported, unrecognized. Or maybe employers turning the blind eye, sweeping it under the rug, just trying to ignore it. 70,000 security officers, victims of workplace violence in 2012, and estimates are that there were more than 300,000 incidents. We'll be talking about that in part three. We need to be able to identify what workplace violence is and react to prevent it. And then, if we don't catch it, we need to have the right information, the right tools, the right procedures, the right everything in place to respond to it as first responders and management. In part three and part four, we'll be talking more about response. But right now, we're talking about identifying, recognizing, realizing what our responsibilities are. Substance abuse, domestic violence are serious issues. Take note of them, recognize them, respond and react and prevent as much as you can. Because in a civil trial, you don't want to explain to a jury how you knew but did nothing about it. Part three, we'll be talking about employees, vendors, customers, and others who get involved in this whole makeup of workplace violence, and how we can prevent some of those things from happening. Once again, I want to say thank you to all of the folks who helped us to bring about some changes in the laws in a number of states, and those working to bring further changes about in other states. Want to also say that with this announcement of new services and programs being offered by Private Officer International, these are just the beginning of some great things happening in 2013, and I'm really excited about putting together the 2013 Memorial Ride and conferences. If you'd like to be involved, please send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Thanks for being with us here on the Private Officer Talk Radio. Thanks to Carl for calling in and being one of our guests here. And also want to thank my team. Without them, we couldn't do it. That's all for tonight. Join us on Wednesday for the LP Zone, and also be looking for You and the Law, a brand new radio program. Be blessed, stay safe this week, and until we see you back here on the radio, good night. Thank you.